Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. Ty Hildenbrandt here. Dan Rubenstein over there. SolidVerbal at gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter and on Facebook. Daniel, how are you?
I'm fantastic. It is raining and terrific. I'm actually really good. I was in New Orleans, Ty.
I heard that, yeah.
It was a really good time.
I was not in New Orleans, by the way.
Why?
My shoulder was operated
That's
on.
That's so dumb.
It's been a little over a week now. I guess about a week and a half. I sit here today broadcasting in writhing pain, Dan.
Oh,
but
no.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Coaching carousel spinning once more this evening.
I like that. Coach Mike McIntyre, Colorado, somebody that we had paid attention to. I still remember the email we received from a Verballer at the onset of last season, of the 2012 season, when Stanford just got by San Jose State late, 20-17.
Yep.
And our reaction was like, really, Stanford? And then it turned out San Jose State was really good and a really good team in the WAC last season, ended the season strong. And it was in large part because of Mike McIntyre turning that program around. Really down, they were down when he arrived. Had a rough go of it early on, but turned that team around. David Fales, the quarterback there, is now considered to be an upper level NFL prospect moving forward. So a lot to really like about Mike McIntyre's ability to not just coach, but to evaluate, see what's wrong, see what's right, and to sort of build on those things. So I thought it was a terrific hire. I think he may have spoken to Cal. I think it was between him and Sonny Dykes. I think my information about interviews could be a little off. But I really do like the hire a lot for Colorado, and we've said as much since.
Yeah, and we solicited questions, as we always do when we bring on coaches or notable guests, and was pleasantly surprised at not only the number of questions received, but also the range. The range of the questions we receive, some of the different topics that people want us to touch base on. So we've got a bunch of them here. We're going to talk to Coach McIntyre here in just a little bit. It is good to speak to you once more, though, Mr. Rubenstein.
And you as well. I'm really excited that I'm able to roll myself over to my microphone after eating about 19,000 calories a day in New Orleans.
Yeah, I was going to say, you came back with a cholesterol problem.
It's exciting for me. Yeah. But no, it's good to speak with you again after you had to take some time to heal.
I'm still healing.
Still very much in the healing process.
Yeah, I'm hurting.
But a trooper.
I'm doing my best. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. But this makes me feel better. It's good to talk college football. Mm-hmm. And we should bring this up because I believe your mom is coming to town in the next few days. And we're going to work on the solid maternal, which we've told people about.
Maybe we record that on Mother's Day?
I don't know when
we would do that.
It's possible. We'll work this out after the show, but we're going to have the Solid Verbal Mom Show at some point, probably next week. We'll release it next week. We'll figure that out a little bit later. But it is Mother's Day this coming Sunday. And look, there are people out there listening, mostly male. We know this. A lot of guys probably gave their mom a hard time growing up. You know, they did something. They caused their mom to worry sick. This could be your chance to make up for it with Mother's Day. It really could be. Sherry's Berries, we've been talking about Sherry's Berries for a long time. We've been talking about proflowers.com for a long time, specifically with the berries. If you go to berries.com, berries.com, click on the microphone and type in the promo code SOLID. The special offer here is giant freshly dipped strawberries. Again, from Sherry's Berries, starting at only $19.99, which is a 40% savings. For Solid Verbal listeners, you can actually double the berries, double the fun for just $10 more, Dan. So,
double
again, that's microphone, top right corner, type in the promo code SOLID, $19.99, 40% savings. That is our introductory offer, we'll say here, for our Solid Verbal listeners. And there's still time. There is still time to get in those orders for Sherry's Berries. You can use the same promo code over on proflowers.com. This is what these sites are for, Dan, for events such as Mother's Day. So please do take advantage of the special deals.
I would go as far as saying, because it is a college football show, that the combination of flowers and the delicious Sherry's Berries, it's a dual threat, Ty, a dual threat of caring.
Ooh, yeah.
You see what I did there?
I see what you did there. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, the berries are delicious. To me, it's about the swizzle. Anybody can sell you strawberry. They have strawberries on a roadside stand. They're not that good. They're not nearly as good as Sherry's berries. They're not nearly as personal. They don't nearly just explain how much you care without words, Ty.
No.
Sometimes it's about more than words. And this is where the guitar part starts for more than words.
Sure, of course.
But yeah, they're delicious. They have the swizzle. You talk about nut berries. You're talking about chocolate chip berries.
Yeah.
I'm really hungry just thinking about these. I'm going to have to get some for my mom, who is in town. I'm very excited. I'm assuming you're going to be hanging out with Mama H this weekend.
Mama H, yep. I've been hanging out with Mama H for the better part of 2 weeks now, as I can literally do nothing other than sleep and watch The Wire nonstop. But yeah, the problem is I can't get Sherry's berries from my mom, because if I get them, she'll know that it's sort of like my hand's already been tipped, because we're doing these promos and she's had them before. And
I have no qualms.
Yeah, well, again, the address is berries.com, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner. Type in the promo code SOLID. You do need to hurry, though. This offer ends soon. You have to order very quickly if you want to get them in time for Mother's Day. So do not delay.
Maybe I should order Mama H berries just to thank her for being such a good mom.
For being my mom.
And giving me a co-host, well-raised, reasonable, logical, great broadcast voice. I should be thanking her with flowers and with berries for doing such a great job.
You sound like you're 65 years old, Dan.
Do I?
You do, a little bit, yeah.
You know, here's a secret, Ty.
You are.
Everything about me is 65 years old except how I look and my actual age. But the way I think... I just want to show I care, and berries do that really well. That's all I'm saying.
All right. We're pleased to welcome the new head football coach at Colorado, Mike McIntyre, to the show. Coach, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
So are you settled in Boulder now? Do you have a good sandwich place? Are you good to go, or how you feeling?
Yeah, we're settled in Boulder, and I hit a couple sandwich places. We got this one place called The Food. It's pretty good. So, nice. Pretty good name, huh?
Yeah.
And, but it's, yeah, we're settled in. Family's, in junior high and high school and actually met our neighbors. So I think we're moving forward pretty well.
There you go. Well, we solicited some questions from the public.
Okay.
And I was pleased to see actually that I wasn't the only one with this question, but did you meet Ralphie yet? What's the situation there with that relationship?
I met Ralphie.
Okay.
And actually I actually let Ralphie lick my hand. The tongue is like sandpaper.
I mean, that's a big commitment.
But yeah, we ran out behind Ralphie at the spring game, which was a lot of fun, and I could not keep up with Ralphie. I would have blown my hamstring out. So, and then a couple times here, I've been able to. Ralphie practices in our stadium some, and to watch the young men and women that have to practice to learn how to run with Ralphie is pretty amazing. Those people have guts, to say the least.
I'll say. Wow. Okay. So, you know, you've been all over the place, Coach, all across the United States as an assistant coach, as you know, a head coach, most recently with San Jose State. What made this opportunity right for you? What about the timing? What about the location? Why did you pick Colorado?
Well, when they called, it was an honor to have them call me. Was not looking to go anywhere. Loved it at San Jose State. Had a very good team coming back this year with a great quarterback. And but when I talked to Mike Bone and Phil DeStefano, our chancellor, and Bruce, our president, I just felt like they were all on board to be very, very successful. And the great history of Colorado football, I knew about growing up and playing college football and remembering the days of Coach Mack's teams and just thought it was a special, special place, and felt like the Pac-12 was a good fit for them. And after being at San Jose State for 3 years and recruiting all of California, felt like there's a lot of players in the state of California that we could get to come to Colorado and could be very successful with. So I thought it was a great fit, and I think the future's bright.
And when you watch tape from last season of the 2012 team, as you're evaluating the players before the spring, when you make that transition to Boulder, what jumped out to you in terms of the positives that you felt you could build upon, and what jumped out to you as far as what areas needed improvement?
Well, I thought one of the things is there was a lot of young players playing that could grow and mature. I also felt like that, you know, they had an opportunity to, in this conference is a very, very tough conference, that you had the opportunity to grow and grow in this conference. And I felt like if we just got out there and worked hard and the attitude kept changing to a positive attitude, that we'd be able to make strides. Of course, the first thing you got to do is you always got to recruit talent, but you got to recruit talent that wants to be at Colorado, that fits what you want here. And I think there's enough players out there to do that. And I felt like the young men last year played hard and just had some unfortunate things happen. And hopefully they've learned from that, and hopefully we'll be able to bounce back and have a better start to the 2013 season.
And you talk about the importance of recruiting, and you mentioned California. Is there a particular position group, given what you want to do schematically and where the conference is and what teams in the Pac-12 are doing, is there a position group that you have targeted depth-wise or for a specific type of skill set that isn't necessarily more important, but you feel like deserves a lot of your focus on the recruiting trail?
Yes, sir. Last year we came in and we signed 5 linebacker speed type guys that you would consider in between a strong safety linebacker type body, between 5'11 and a half and 6'3", 200 to 220. But we all wanted them that could run, really run. And, we were able to sign a couple guys that ran 10-800 meters. They were high school tailbacks. It's what, four of the 5 linebackers we signed were high school tailbacks. And that's the area we targeted, because in the spread offenses of today, you've got to have slash nickelback slash linebacker type guys. You can't have 260-pound guys playing in open space with the little receivers and the quick spread offenses and the ball being run on speed sweeps. It's just not a pretty sight. So we were looking for more of those type of guys, and we felt like we found them. And we did some rearranging on the team when we got going to be able to play, because we play 7, maybe 8 spread football teams next year in our season, and that's a whole different brand of football.
Right, and you mentioned recruiting California, and of course, ideally, every team would love to recruit as many states as possible to see the highest number of prospects and sort of gauge and evaluate as much as they can.
Right.
Do you feel empowered that you can recruit as many states or a reasonable amount of states that you'd like to do and sort of target different players in different locations and sort of get a better gauge for the states around Colorado? Because the state, while it does produce talent, the numbers wise doesn't have the same number of Division I talent as possible. Do you feel empowered to be able to do that?
Right. We're definitely going to comb our state of Colorado. There are some good BCS football players here, and we need to get those guys. And we're going to do that. We've got 4 coaches in the state. Each coach has about 100 schools, and we are going to every one of them this May. And so we will do that. It's our goal to build a wall around the state and be able to keep the majority of those guys in. Then when we go out of state, we're going to basically concentrate on California and Texas. And when you think about that, to be honest with you, Texas and California is like 4 states in one, and Texas is like 5 states in one. And there's a lot of population, and football is very important there. So I feel like that those 2 states were on television a lot. We've had a lot of success there. And looking at the demographics of our school, 55% of the University of Colorado is from the state of Colorado. 45% is from out of state, which is the most, I think, of any major state school in America that's the state school. And 22% is from California, and 18% is from Texas. So there's a lot of ties there. So there's some girlfriends and some friends and some aunts and uncles that went to school here that live in those areas. So we feel like that helps us in the recruiting. There's a connection there.
What is the recruiting pitch, Coach? Because inevitably you're going to find kids, you sit down in their living room and they say, I want to win a national championship. Colorado's been down for a while now. What is your pitch? How do you sell the university?
Well, I think that's a good point. Well, we've won one in 1990.
Sure.
We're only one of 13 schools since 1990 that's had a national championship and a Heisman Trophy winner. We're also the 25th winningest program in college football history. We're also the 5th most watched on television in college football history. So there's a great tradition here. And, just 2005, in 2004, they won the Big 12. It's not that far ago. And it's something, I know in college football probably – 1 year's like 7 years, almost like dog years, so to speak. But I think that we can definitely get it back there, and we will. And we've just got to keep taking progress and steps forward. And I think once they realize what the tradition of the place and you know how we're well respected around the country, and you talk to them about being able to come in and play Pac-12 football and playing in big games and playing every single game on television and all the things that go along with that. And then, you know, it's one of the top 150 schools in the world. And I don't think a lot of people know that, how good it is academically. So there's a lot of things to offer here. And they've had great, great history, not just good history. They've had great history. And even as up, you know, as recently as the early 2000s. So we've got to bring that back.
Yeah, and you can't mention that tradition at Colorado without bringing up Bill McCartney, who was just inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. There was a point in time recently where some folks wanted to bring him back to coach. Have you talked to Coach McCartney at all? Have you gotten any wisdom from him as you embark on this new challenge?
Oh, yes, I sure have. We've talked two times in depth in person, once at lunch, and then yesterday I went over to his awards and we sat down and talked some more. And, you know, I took about 1,000 notes from him, pages of notes, and just think the world of him, not only as a football coach, but as a man. And, you know, and also he's invested in our program too, not just because he was a coach here, not because he has great history here, but his two grandsons. He has a grandson that's on my staff as a graduate assistant, and he has a grandson that's a freshman football player for me. So there's a lot more vested interest. He has true blood in it. And so I think it's been very refreshing meeting with him, and I will meet with him a lot more and talk with him quite often. And he's a phenomenal man and has a lot of great insight for me.
Coach, just very broadly, you know, when you step into a challenging spot, the reaction sometimes from the outside in can be almost hopelessly negative, especially when you're dealing with a school that has been down for a while.
Yep.
Can you spin it differently for us, though? I mean, what is the silver lining? What are the advantages to actually coming into a situation that hasn't won in a while, such as Colorado?
Well, we have nowhere to go but up.
And very true.
And, you know, I look at that as a great challenge. So does our staff. I believe we know exactly what we need to do and how to accomplish it. But, you know, the whole thing is if you're not positive every day and look at everything positive and understand that, anybody can be negative. And anybody can say, well, that's the way that's been done. Well, if you got to be positive, you got to be firm, you got to always step forward. And the other thing you got to realize is these young men's time, okay? Each young man has about a 4 or 5 year period to play. Mm-hmm. And it's their legacy and it's their time. And I don't think there's that big a difference always in talent. I really don't. I think if we keep recruiting like we're supposed to, that we can even the gap there. And I think that we have young men here now that can make plays. I think a lot of it has to do with their mental outlook and believing in themselves and their work ethic when they're doing that. How much they focus, how much they work at it, how much they believe in it, that transpires to success on the field. And, you know, it's kind of funny. You're right. I go to, I'll go out to a restaurant to eat. People are really nice, but they always look at me, ooh, you got a tough job, coach. Well, everybody has a tough job. It's all in how you look at it and how you step forward through it. And, you know, we'll get it done. I believe that with all my heart and soul. And we've got a lot of great young men here. I've got a phenomenal coaching staff. And we'll just keep stepping forward and keep moving.
To that end, college football is a short-term business. The expectations are obviously very high for success. And you've talked about it taking time. So I guess, tangibly speaking, what will constitute a successful 2013 season? Are there stats beyond wins? Are there stats? Are there particular metrics that you will use to measure progress?
Right. And that's a great question. I think that you're always having to make progress. And I think when you're around it and you see it every day, you see the progress being made. You know, the progress is made by the young man in his work ethic, by the young man in his accountability, by the young man in the classroom, by the culture they create in the weight room, by the culture they create in the locker room, how they treat each other, how they care about it, what their things are doing off the field. And as you keep building those things, all of those things have to get in place before you start seeing a ton of results on the field. And so I think that whole process has started, I have seen a dramatic increase since I've gotten here in the attitude of the young men and the passion for them, the willingness to want to be successful. We'll start showing those strides on the field. So I think it all goes hand in hand. Now, how quick that happens, I'll wait and see. I know at San Jose State, I think we were 1-15, and then we ended up going, I think, 16-2. And I saw us getting better all the time. And we lost a bunch of heartbreakers, and then when it flipped, it flipped. And the same thing happened here. I hope it happens quicker than that. There's no doubt about it. But I think the process keeps going. When we went to San Jose State, we didn't have a full allotment of scholarships, so that was one negative on us to having to catch up.
Right.
Then we got the full allotment, and that really helped. We have all of that here, and we just got to keep the process going. And there's no exact timetable, but I do know that you have to keep showing progress. And you can see that on the field, and the fans will see it, the administration will see it, but sometimes it doesn't result in wins, sometimes as quick as you'd like.
I'm going to give you a statistic that you can use to measure how successful you're being, because you are instituting the no-huddle offense that you put in spring. The number of oxygen tanks that are on the other sideline that a team needs because they're playing at altitude and you've run them into the ground.
Right. I agree with you. That is definitely one of our strategies and one of our philosophies, and one thing that we'll definitely take into that we're going to do. We're going to try
All right.
to be the best condition football team in America. Not everybody says that, but we're basically at 6,000 feet, so it's a little different. So when people come here, we need to use that as an advantage. There's no doubt.
All right, and successful teams always have successful quarterbacks. And now that you look at your team post spring, you've had attrition both with injuries and with transfer. Where does the quarterback position stand today? You have Connor Wood, you have Shane Dillon, of course, Nick Hirschman transfers, Jordan Webb goes down, unfortunately, with the injury. So in your mind, where does the quarterback position stand?
Well, that's a great question. I first of all, to look at that, I think that all of the quarterbacks got better this spring. They really did. I thought Connor Wood made a big jump, I thought he really improved as spring went along. And I thought he really played well. And I thought the other young men got better and better. And then we have a freshman coming in, Cepho, that I think's got a chance to be good. We're going to let him get in the mix to be able to see what he can do. So, I would still say it's up in the air, but I would say that we definitely improved, I thought, great strides at that position, maybe more than any, from the first day of spring to the last day of spring.
Where did you see the strides from Connor Wood, who struggled at times last season?
I saw his accuracy dramatically increase. And his last couple of scrimmages, his deep ball, his short game, his percentage was really good. And, we were trying to play him tight, trying to do some things. He just was accurate.
Right.
And that's extremely important at quarterback. And early in the spring, I didn't see that, even when we were just running routes on air. Receiver running down, running an out or a curl or a post on his own, we could hardly complete them the first 3 or 4 days of practice. And then all of a sudden we were able to start complete them in scrimmages and different things. And we did those same drills later in the season, and we're completing almost every ball. And that's due to the kid working at it. It's due to our coaching by Coach Lindgren. It's due to our receivers running better routes and all the by Troy Walters and all those guys. So I felt like that area really improved. We were excellent at that at San Jose State. I think we were the highest percentage passing team completion wise. I think we're 78% or something. And we do a lot to help that. And I think that Connor's starting to get a feel for that, and so are the other quarterbacks.
As you step into this new role, Coach, with respect for the Pac-12 as a whole, what do you view as job number one or your biggest challenge?
Wow, I think our biggest challenge is to make sure we're competitive every Saturday for a whole 4 quarters.
Yeah,
I really believe that. We got to get to the second half competitive, and when we start doing that, we'll start winning the games because the kids will start believing. But if you're not competitive, if you're kind of out of the game at halftime, you don't have a chance. So I believe that's our goal, to get to that second half being competitive, and then here we go. We'll see what happens.
Right. Well, bring it back to this, because I mentioned you've been all over the map.
Yes, sir.
You did spend some time in the NFL.
Yeah.
what about your experience from the NFL are you able to pull over into the college game? Because so often it's like the two are incompatible, but clearly there must have been some positive experience in the NFL that you can bring with you now throughout all your endeavors here in the college game.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. And I can sum it up with basically two words, Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
I sat under Bill Parcells for 4 years. He's one of the best there ever was. And the things that I learned from him are invaluable. You know, I'll give you three. First of all, practice planning, preparation for practice, how you logistically lay out a practice. Number two, evaluation of players, how you evaluate your players and where you put them on your field. And number three, motivation of players and how he did that. So I think those three things really have helped carry me over, and I think you can use that at any level. And I feel like I learned it from the best. And so I think that's what I've taken to that extent.
Well, and the motivation, of course, gets to the whole culture of college football, the culture of a football team. I mean, do you have like any pep talks that you've pre-written? I mean, what is the secret to getting these guys motivated and to really change a culture of a team?
Showing them how much you care. And that's our big word, care. You have to care about everything, and they have to realize you care about them more as a person than you do as a player. And once they realize that, they trust you. Once they trust you, they'll do anything for you. And that's where we're headed in that direction. We're not there yet. But once they realize how much you care, it makes all the difference in the world. And, you know, the other side of it is that they understand that when you're coaching them to get better. You're not downgrading them. You're building them up. And there's a difference. There really is. And I've seen that work over and over and over. And especially with 18 to 22-year-olds, you got a lot of fragile situations there. And they're still growing into men themselves, so you have to understand that. And I think that's a process that we're working on and that I think will make a big difference for us.
And as you look at your roster following spring practice, where is the position group that you feel like is ready to compete week in and week out, like you mentioned? And where do you think a lot of your focus will be in the fall for improvement, for getting the most out of your players?
I think our receiving core and our running back core, I think we have three or four really good players. I'd say at receiver, I think we have three to four really, really good players, and we have some other guys that can really play some good roles. And then at running back, I think we have two to three really good running backs. And so those areas, which I think are good, those are your guys that can, you know, strike at any time and make some plays for you, and I think that's big. So I was impressed with those guys in the spring. And then, defensively, I think that our defensive front is getting better and better and better, and so I think that we'll be able to, you know, hopefully they'll be able to hold their own up there, stout wise against the run and that type of thing. Got to get a little bit better at the pass rush, but I feel like the run situation we should be fine.
All right, and you talk about preparation. What is your game day routine? Do you have meals? Do you have music that you listen to just to get your head in the right space? Do you wake up at a certain time? Do you have superstitions? What is game day for you?
That's great. I like to get up early, I like to read my Bible and pray, and then I like to go for a run to really calm down my nerves. And then when I come with the team on the team bus, I get off the team bus, and the first place I go is I go walk around the field and kind of get my thoughts together, calm, and then I walk in the locker room and go. So that's kind of a little bit of a couple of my rituals there.
And lo and behold, coaches get nervous too, right?
Yes. If they don't, they're lying to you.
Nice.
All right. Well, his name is Coach Mike McIntyre, the new head football coach at Colorado. Coach, best of luck to you moving forward. Hopefully we can talk to you again sometime soon. And until then, best of luck. I hope it goes well.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you having us on. And we are definitely excited about 2013, and our kids are too.
All right, Dan. That is Mike McIntyre, new head football coach at Colorado. A lot of interesting stuff there. And I must say, this is probably my own fault here, but in doing my research on Coach McIntyre and in kicking the tires on his past experiences and jobs, it did not register to me that he was in the pro game at the same time as Bill Parcells.
Yeah, never. I don't believe he ever dyed his hair that like jet blonde.
No.
But it is an impressive thing to say that you worked for Bill Parcells and sort of learned and your tutelage was under him. So that is very nice. What are your thoughts on Colorado, both just as a program historically and anything just sort of what comes to mind? And then what are your thoughts moving forward?
Well, everyone tells me that Boulder is a wonderful place for almost anything. I have never been to Boulder, Colorado. I'd love to get out there for a game sometime just to check it out because I've heard nothing but good things. What comes to mind instantly, he referenced Colorado's championship in 1990. And I know in the late 80s, early part of the 90s, Notre Dame and Colorado were frequent enemies, frequent opponents in bowl games. That was the game in which, remember that phantom clipping call against Notre Dame, called back the Rocket Ishmael punt return in the Orange Bowl.
I was always very confused watching those games because of the gold helmets and the color scheme.
Oh, for sure.
As somebody without terrific vision, it was very confusing to me head on seeing the gold helmets and white jerseys sometimes.
But I remember that tradition, that aspect of the tradition for Colorado. And certainly there were a lot of great teams there. I feel bad that the team has gone the way it has in recent years. And I know when they hired Dan Hawkins, I thought that was going to turn some things around because Dan Hawkins, of course, was so successful at Boise State, but that didn't happen. And we know what happened with the John Embry era. So I'm rooting hard for Coach McIntyre just because I think it's a great place for college football. There obviously is so much pageantry associated with Colorado football that it's tough to watch that program be down for as long as it has.
Folsom Field in September. It's a fine experience with the mountains in the background. Yeah, no, my ideas of the program, my images in my brain are very similar to yours. It's a program that should be more successful. Interesting that a program that reached the heights that it did, the whole transfer to the Pac-12 thing is still really interesting to me because they had all that success playing in the, I guess, originally Big 8 and then Big 12 against Oklahoma, Nebraska, Kansas State, all these teams. And now they sort of usher in this still new era in the Pac-12, and it's interesting to see, and I think it's a great fit. It'll be very interesting to see how a program can be rebuilt, a once very highly ranked program, just in a completely new context. So that's going to be very interesting for me to see. They need to recruit a ton. He has to spend twice as much time on the road as anybody else in the conference, pretty much, just because there's so much work to be done. But it seems that he is detail-oriented enough, is clearly a people person, and can get along with people and sort of motivate. You feel good. He does have a more of an uphill battle than I think a lot of coaches do as they enter new jobs just because of the talent level at certain parts of that team. But excited to see improvement. That's always, you know, when you look at great coaching jobs, that's essentially what it is. It's getting better at the smaller things that add up to a bigger picture.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm looking at the schedule now again.
Yeah, as am I.
I think we've already identified that it is going to be a bit of an uphill climb, at least initially for Colorado, until Mike McIntyre can get his system rolling. Not the hardest road schedule this year, I guess, if you're looking for silver lining. At Oregon State, at ASU, at UCLA, at Washington, close out the year at Utah. So that is certainly at least manageable on paper. We need to see what kind of team Colorado is able to field. But just looking at it from that perspective, that's something perhaps on which you can hang your hat.
They miss Stanford. It's a good rotation year.
Yeah.
They miss Stanford on the schedule. You know, September might not be so bad. I don't know what the win losses will be, but there's an opportunity there to be very competitive. They have Oregon State on the road. Not, you know, we're not talking about a dynasty at Oregon State. Right. We're not talking about a perennial championship contending team. They were very good last season, had some big wins, but they've had down years recently. So that's not a bad team to get week four.
Yeah.
Fresno State had a very nice year offensively last season, but we're not crazy far away from a terrible Fresno State defense. They showed a ton of improvement last season, but the season before. So there's some of the same players that are going to be fielded in that game. Central Arkansas, I feel good about in week two. Colorado State, the rivalry that opens the season. I think that's in Denver.
Yeah.
You know, why, you know, weird things happen.
Over under, I'm torn between 3.5 and 4 wins. We'll say 3.5. Over under here, 3.5 total wins.
I think they can beat Utah.
Yeah, that's one.
I think they can beat, they have the ability to beat Colorado State, Central Arkansas, and Fresno State. I don't love them in those games. I mean, those are four within the realm of possibilities if they make a huge jump wins. Arizona to me is interesting. That defense was really, really bad last season, but Arizona was able to outscore a number of teams and be competitive because of that offense. Now they're down Matt Scott and Austin Hill, their leading returning receiver.
You know, depending what happens with Cal, they might be able to hang with Cal, especially since they're at home.
At home, first season against a new offense. We saw how long it took Mike Leach to sort of get the air raid going at Washington State. Sonny Dykes is looking to do something similar, albeit with a higher talent level. But yeah, that could be one of those weird night games. I don't know. Cal's within the realm of possibility. Their ceiling this season,
yeah,
I think, is 5-7.
I could see that.
Ceiling. They're realistically, I think we're looking at 3-9, 4-8, but feisty signs.
I think, yeah. I mean, that's part of the reason why I'm torn.
I think you are going to see an improved Colorado team.
Yeah, well, as the coach said, there's nowhere to go but up. They've had a real hard time over the last few seasons, and the last two have been particular eyesores. I know from the fans that have written into us that it has not been pleasant. So,
right,
as we mentioned, a lot of great tradition at Colorado in Boulder. Mm-hmm. You hope that they're able to turn that around. It was great to talk to the coach.
They may have a top five receiver in the Pac-12 in Paul Richardson, who had huge spurts, at least, in 2011. 2012, of course, injured and set out the season. But just in terms of pure talent, if his ACL is there week in and week out, he is as dangerous a receiver in the conference that isn't named Marquise Lee. Has just in terms of pure ability. I want to say he went to Sarah High School with Marquise Lee and George Farmer and Robert Woods. I don't know the exact overlapping years, but I want to say the same high school, which is filthy.
That's incredible.
Did he go to that same high school?
I don't know. You would be the one to ask those questions. I don't.
I'm looking it up right now just because I don't want to sound like an idiot.
Well, while you look it up, I'll also throw in the quarterback. Right, the quarterback position is not lost on anyone when it comes to Colorado this football season. Coach McIntyre is quoted in other interviews, and it again comes as no surprise to anyone. But he wants a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over, someone he can trust running the plays. You mentioned they're switching up to a no-huddle offense. You need a guy who can step in, be effective at calling the plays, leading this team down the field, and someone who is content enough to not make the quick decision, not throw in traffic, not turn the football over. That was a big trouble spot for them over the last few seasons.
Yeah, Connor Wood, of course, the Texas transfer.
Right.
Really disappointing 2012, but there could be a very nice argument made that just the quarterback coaching was not there. The development was not there on both ends. So there is an argument to be made that he could be significantly better this season. He couldn't quite crack the depth chart at Texas, but that's okay. A lot of quarterbacks cannot.
Right.
So there is reason to like him there, that he had the talent and was a sought-after recruit a number of years ago. And they have Shane Dillon, who is considered to be a very highly thought of, he wasn't considered to be highly thought of. I think he just was highly thought of on the West Coast as a quarterback coming out of Southern California. So there is talent in different pockets of that team, and it'll be interesting to see how well that talent can be maximized.
Well, again, his name is Coach Mike McIntyre. We appreciate his time here on the show. It was great to talk to another college football coach. We'll have to make sure we do that again at some point with some others before the season gets rolling, Dan.
We shall.
Is there anything else we need to discuss here on our reunion show, I guess?
It is a reunion show. College Football Hall of Fame, just inductees have been
selected. How do you feel about Halls of Fame?
I don't care all that
God,
much.
I hate Hall of Fame.
I care when somebody's just so egregiously left out. Like, yeah. I think we knew Ron Dayne and Danny Warfel were worthy of being in the Hall of Fame, but Tommy Frazier being left out for all of these years, dumb. Good to see he has finally been selected to the College Football Hall of Fame, because essentially the story of college football in the 90s can't be told without perhaps the best player on the best team of the 90s. So
absolutely. Yeah.
Glad to see that rectified. Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you a historic question.
Oh boy. Okay.
Who is the most dominant team you've seen on television or in person? So in your college, educated college football timeline.
I think you got to go that Miami team with Ken Dorsey that had all the pros on, or just that that stretch with Miami.
Right.
When they had all the pro talent on. I mean, that was just, to me, that was a pro team.
Was that the most dominant, or was that might have been the most talented?
Well, however
maybe
you
want distinction. Yeah, no, they may have been the most
dominant. I mean, if we're getting into semantics, then so be it. But I would probably have to go with that Miami squad when they were just loaded up with pro talent.
Yeah, they did dominate, and it was ridiculous. You look at the rush, you're like, wait, no, this was a mistake. They all were not on this team.
Yeah.
Because that would be an all-star team. And then, oh, yeah, they did dominate everything. So, yeah, there's a great case to be made for that. I guess it was the 95 Nebraska team that beat Florida in the 96 national championship game. I've never seen, because I watched a lot of the Florida games that season. I saw that fun and gun. And I was like, wow, this is going to be a great game with Nebraska's defense and Florida's offense and Nebraska running the offense that they ran, that option offense. And then to see Nebraska completely smother a really, really good Florida team.
Yeah.
That, I think, to me, I remember being late for a basketball game that I was playing in because, Ty, I'm an athlete.
Sure.
I remember watching that game and staying just to watch the depth of that bludgeoning.
It
still sticks with me.
They were pounded into Bolivian, as Mike Tyson would say.
Pounded into Bolivian. They reminded me a lot of the 2011 Notre Dame team.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm glad you brought that up, Dan. Thanks for pointing that out. Yeah, well, it's good to see Tommy Frazier get in. It really is. And again, this is coming from someone who I hate Halls of Fame. I can't get into them. I love baseball. Went to the Baseball Hall of Fame, was bored out of my mind. Went to the College Football Hall of Fame. My lasting memory from the College Football Hall of Fame when I went to see it in South Bend was they had one of those booths where you can call the play and then they make like the cassette tape for you. That was my favorite part of that Hall of Fame. Otherwise, though, I'm just not a big fan of them. Not a big fan of them.
I'm going to give you this and then we're going to end the show and let people go on their way.
Yeah. Okay.
Hope they continue to have a good day.
Sure.
Our friend Andy Staples released a post-spring top 25.
Okay.
I'm going to give you random matchups.
Okay.
On a neutral field. I want you to tell me who wins.
Random matchup, neutral
from
field.
The top 10.
Okay.
Clemson against Oregon, neutral field.
Wow. Clemson versus Oregon.
Neutral field. On the spot.
Wow. I think I go Oregon.
I think I go Oregon as well.
Yeah, I think I go Oregon there.
Louisville against Notre Dame.
I have to go Notre Dame, in part because I'm biased, in part because I think Notre Dame's defense will be pretty good this year. So I'll pick the better
defense. They may have two first-rounders on the defensive line. Yeah.
Sure, between Tuitt and Nix, I think they're going to be pretty good up front again. And their secondary should be much improved. Teddy Bridgewater is formidable, but if you're giving me those two, I probably take the better defense. I'll go Notre Dame.
Rematch of a bowl game we saw 2 years ago. Florida, Ohio State.
I probably go Florida. I don't think the offense can be worse than it was last year. And there were flashes at times. I don't want Florida fans to jump on me, but there were flashes at times. The offense needs to get better, and they need to have more of a vertical passing attack instead of these dink and dump passes
right.
with Jeff Driskel. I think they will improve. What concerns me about Florida, though, is that they've got some losses.
Big loss
on the defensive line with Sharif Floyd, and certainly in the secondary with Matt Elam.
And Bostic and Jenkins, two of the starting linebackers. Yeah,
sure. But I am tempted to go Florida as well, just because it's SEC versus Ohio State. We'll leave it at that.
Wow, what was that mouth sound?
That was just a little pucker for the Ohio State fans out there. That's all that was.
Right.
A little love for him.
Texas A&M, Stanford.
Wow. I'm going to go with a controversial pick here.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Stanford.
Okay.
I know that A&M still has Johnny Manziel. He's the defending Heisman Trophy champion. Questions along the offensive line, as I believe A&M lost both Luke Jokel and Patrick Lewis, who was their center. I realize that they'll still probably be in pretty good shape. Along that line, but Stanford brings a lot back. They were young last year. And I am not totally convinced that it will be continued lightning in the bottle with Manziel in that offense. I think they'll improve as a whole under another year of Kevin Sumlin.
Right.
But I think Stanford, again, is the quiet assassin that just pounds your brains in up front and might be able to run on A&M. So give me Stanford.
I agree with you. Just because of their big losses this season are all offensive skill.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the more replaceable thing. Stanford has recruited very well on that side of the ball with the skill position players. Offensive line is intact. That defense proved its mettle against the spread offense going to Oregon, going sideline to sideline sure. with the Ducks. So Texas A&M runs a different kind of offense, but I feel like hypothetically speaking, Stanford would be pretty well built.
And I'll throw something else out there. I mean, I know that Stanford loses Stephon Taylor. They will find another guy to pound the ball up the middle 30 times a game. And that's sort of what they're establishing out there in Palo Alto. But A&M also lost DeMontre Moore, right?
Indeed they did. Their best pass rusher.
You know, a force along that defensive line. I think that factors in as well. So I think Stanford might be able to exploit that. So I will take Stanford there in a controversial pick.
I'm gonna say something controversial about Stanford.
Yeah.
I'm not positive Kevin Hogan's starting quarterback by the end of the season.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think he had a really nice 2012 for a starter just thrown into the mix when there was some disappointment with Josh Nunes, who is now since retired for an injury situation. But there's some talented quarterbacks behind Kevin Hogan, and Hogan didn't make mistakes, which is big. But I think there might be more dynamic talent behind him, possibly, with them. Okay. I don't know.
We got any other matchups?
Let's go Alabama. No, I'm not going
to
say that.
Don't do that to me again.
Let's go Alabama, South Carolina.
Neutral field, huh?
Neutral field.
You got to go Alabama just because they're the defending champion. But don't sleep on South Carolina. And
please do not.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember that article that Andy put out there. I know he obviously had South Carolina in the top 10. I think the back end of the top 10, if I remember.
Yeah, number 7.
Number correct. 7, okay. I mean, they've got losses. We know about Lattimore. Ace Sanders is a guy that comes to mind. But they bring back Connor Shaw, and certainly they bring back Jadeveon Clowney, who just
kills
people.
They bring back Dylan Thompson. Open battle there.
Of course,
at quarterback, yeah.
And Jadeveon Clowney, who kills people.
Who?
So yeah. I would say Alabama, neutral field, just because they're Alabama. But don't sleep on South Carolina this season. They still got a ton of talent. And
Steve Spurrier has beaten Nick Saban.
Yeah, he has.
That would feel like a hell of a game. That defensive line and going up against a rebuilt, it'll still be good, but a rebuilt Alabama offensive line. That'd be fun. That's all I have for you. Those are all my on the spots for today.
Okay. Well, fair enough. We thank Coach Mike McIntyre.
Yeah.
Again, the new head football coach, Colorado, for stopping on by. We will be by at some point over the next few days. Stay tuned to our Facebook page and to our Twitter account as we prepare for the Solid Maternal, which again is going to be a show featuring both of our moms.
Yes.
We need to discuss this format when we hit the stop button here to figure out how we want this to work.
I'm going to give my mom questions to ask your mom that you will not be privy to.
Okay.
Just all like right. I put you on the spot, I'm going to have Mama Rubenstein put Mama H on the spot.
We can solicit some questions as well.
Absolutely.
Over the next few days on the Facebook page.
That sounds totally reasonable to me.
That's reasonable to you. We'll come up with some stuff. That's what we'll do then. And again, if you are in the market for a Mother's Day gift, Cherry's Berries, go to berries.com, berries.com. Click on the microphone and type in solid for our special deal. Also, you can go to proflowers.com, use promo code solid. If you'd like to send your mom flowers, we can help you with that as well. All right, Dan, good to talk to you again. Hope you're able to recuperate from that trip down to New Orleans.
I'm getting there, Ty. I'm getting there.
All right. I'll do my best to try and nurse this shoulder. In the meantime, for everyone listening at home, thanks again for listening in with us. Catch y'all in a few days. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.